We are live now. We want you to know that we are glad to be able to be with you and hope and pray that you have your Bibles ready and that you are ready to write down the answers to the questions that you have on your heart and mind, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. We thank you for taking out your afternoon to be with us. This is WJNI, Let the Bible Speak, and so we want you to know that we're glad to be able to be with you and appreciate you joining us right now. The lines are available, so go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We want you to know if you have friends or relatives that live outside this calling area, they let them know that it is area code 843 when they want to participate, and then also let them know that they can tune in through our website, which is www.biblealone.com. And they can join us as we go to the Bible for the answers that pertain to life and godliness. And thus, we all can learn from our Creator Himself that we might better get to know Him and what He expects of us in this life. And so this is a live call-in question and answer program. So now is your opportunity to call in your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's our voice line. And our text line, if you have a text question, you can use your cell phone to call 725-9283. And by the way, if you're listening via our website, which is BibleAlone.com, there's a way for you to text in your question through the website. Down at the bottom of the screen, you'll see a box where you just take that text box and you type in your question, and when you hit send, it's sent right here to us in the studio, and we will answer it on today's broadcast. Any way you want to communicate with us is fine. Your questions will be fine, but the answers will come from God in His Word. So please get ready to write these answers down and look them up for yourselves to make certain whether we are speaking as the Bible speaks. And thus, we would be able to rest assured that our Creator will be pleased with those answers. So please, go ahead and call in your question right now. 308-9564 is the voice line, or if you'd rather text, 725-9283.
Again, it's our great honor and pleasure to be able to be on the air and to help you with your questions on the Bible that are on your heart and on your mind. Maybe something you heard this morning at church has caused you to question something, to ask what a Bible verse means. Maybe you've been reading in the Scriptures, and you've come across something that you hadn't seen before, hadn't even thought that it was in the Scriptures. Maybe it may be a word definition. Maybe it may be a figurative expression. Whatever it might be, we are here to serve in a capacity where we will help you and guide you to turn to the Scriptures and to find the answers that are written in it. The Bible warns us about things that would go beyond the Scriptures, and one in particular, when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he tells them in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." The King James says, "May not think above men what is written." So, again, we want you to be able to read for yourself what the Word of God says, and your questions will be answered with a book and a chapter and a verse. So we invite you to participate in the program and call us at 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283. And you'll be hearing about a Bible correspondence course and the breaks in the program. And that number is 553-5157.
We want to let you know also that this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday, in the town of Ridgeville, South Carolina, just west of here, up to Interstate 26, we're going to be having a meeting. A meeting in the Ridgeville Community Center, the auditorium there. It's at the corner of Church Street and School Street, which is Highway 173 and Highway 27. And we are going to be having this meeting this coming weekend at from 6 o'clock. We'll be check-in. Well, the meeting will start at 6:30. We want to invite you to come and let us meet face-to-face. So if you live in the Somerville area, Walterboro, Roundo, Cross, Dorchester area, we want you to come out and to be with us this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday, from 6 o'clock till around 8:30, and we would be thrilled to be able to meet you. Bring your Bibles, bring your Bible questions, and we will go to the Bible for all the answers, and we would get to meet face-to-face. So please, we've rented this auditorium for us to be able to do this, so please come out this coming weekend. And that will be in Ridgeville, South Carolina. So if you live in the Somerville area, please come on up to Ridgeville, and we will be glad to meet you this coming weekend. Our first question today is a text question from the last digits of 917. Their question is, what is the difference between a woman preacher and a man preacher? Well, there are obvious differences, and I will not address those. But there are, as far as the word preacher, when the Bible refers to a preacher, that would be referring to someone that teaches God's word. And so when it comes down to teaching God's word, everybody, every child of God is supposed to be equipping themselves to become teachers. Matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 5, the end of the chapter there, it says, "For by a time that you ought to be teachers, you have one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." And so he's kind of reproving them, admonishing them because they had not grown as they should. And so all of us should be growing toward that end. However, that said, there are restrictions between men and women given in God's word. There is 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 11 and 12, where God brings out that when women teach, that they are not to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in submission. And so that's 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. It says, "Let not a woman learn." Excuse me. I thought it was verse 11. Let me go back to verse 9. It says, "In like manner also, women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel and propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." And of course, those guidelines would be applicable to men too, that we're to be modest and such, and to dress in such a way that where people see godliness. Verse 11 says, "Let the women learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence." A parallel to this, there is another passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 and 35, in the parameter of in church or in the assembly, that they are also to be silent, and so they are not to be certainly over authority of a man from that standpoint in God's kingdom and such, and teaching God's word. And so that would be a parameter there. Now, women are to be told or are to teach. And in Titus chapter 2, just read the first half of the verses there in Titus 2, and you'll see that women are to teach other women. Women are to teach children as well. And so those are things that are to be done. And so could you call that teaching or preaching? Yes, you could. The word is not specific to someone's activity in a pulpit. Matter of fact, the word pulpit is not even used in the New Testament. And so those are some things that you might not have considered, but we sure do appreciate your question. Again, those passages are Titus chapter 2, where they are to teach, and then 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 through 37, where God gives parameters about their teaching of God's word. And hopefully that's been helpful to you, and thus we've let the Bible speak. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. One more mention of our meeting before we go to break. That is this coming weekend in Ridgeville, in the Ridgeville Community Center Auditorium. This coming Friday and Saturday evening, we want to invite you to come in person for us to meet. That's at the corner of Church Street and School Street, which is Highway 173 and 27. And we want you to come and check in around 6 o'clock, and we'll get you a packet of information that we're glad to share with you. It'll be first come, first serve. We may run out of packets this time, so please come early to get your packet. And then we will try to begin the meeting at 6:30 this coming Friday and Saturday evening in Ridgeville. We want to invite you out. You will be our special guest. We can't wait to meet you in person. It's time for us to take our first break. While we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions at 308-9564. Forgot the number there for a minute. 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live. Please go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. We got the operator here, just fidgeting, waiting to answer your question or actually answer the phone and get your question in. So please go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We want you to be aware of that this coming weekend at the Ridgeville meeting, we, all four of us that are behind the microphone, will be there, and we look forward to meeting you in person and hopefully being able to assist you further in your walk with the Lord to find out what God says in His Word. And thus you'll see that there is nothing great about man, but everything is great about the man, Jesus Amen. Christ. And so we're going to try and make certain that He is the attention and He's the one that we are truly honoring as we go to His Word, because He's going to be the last. If we end up not being right when we are on Judgment Day, He very well may be the very last person that we see for a very long time. So we need to make certain that we're right in His sight. And so the only way to do that is to listen to Him now and to listen to His Word. And so That's why it's so important for us to let the Bible speak. Again, the number is 308-9564. Both lines are available. The text line is 725-9283. Steve, you got a question?
Yeah, this is live radio, folks, so we're trying to do the best we can with it. We had a text question in about must a man or a woman be widowed before they can marry again? Well, the Bible does speak to remarriage, and in Matthew 19, verse 9, Jesus says that, I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So, under the conditions that Jesus stated there, that if someone has been put away or divorced for fornication or for sexual immorality, that person can marry again. So the Lord gives us that opportunity to do that. So a person doesn't have to be a widow. But the widow scenario is addressed in Romans chapter 7. And if you want to, just to look at that and be aware that there is a statement there made about a widowed person, that the woman is bound by the law to her husband while he lives. This is verse 1, Romans 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law, and her husband as long as he lives. If the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So the two things that would loose someone from the law of their husband or wife would be, one, death, or two, sexual immorality. And so I hope that is helpful and a guidance for you as you contemplate making changes in your life that are important. We appreciate the fact that you want to know what God says about that. And so we're very appreciative and encouraged by that desire. Again, 308-9564 is the number to call. And if you want to text us in, that's 725-9283.
We have Luther calling in this question. Their question is, do we remain the same age in heaven as when we die? Luther, that is a wonderful question, and I wish I could give you an answer. There is just nothing in the Bible about that, not Old Testament or New Testament, and there's just no way to answer that. And so there is just not in the Bible, and so there's no way to answer that. But I've wondered that myself, Luther. Well, his second question is, will we recognize our loved ones? Well, again, all I can do is let the Bible speak on that, and it does address some on that. And so we can look in Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus was transfigured, and he went up to the top of Mount Hermon. I believe it was Mount Hermon. Some say it's Mount Nebo. Either way, he was up on top of a mountain, and as he was up there, he was transfigured. And as he was changed or transfigured, it brings out Moses and Elijah appeared with him. Now, somehow, those that went with Jesus, that is Peter, James, and John, somehow they knew that that was Moses and Elijah. And Peter recognized them and said, let us build three tabernacles, one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for you. And so now they're rebuked for that, and God makes a point that now we're supposed to listen to Jesus, not to Moses, the law, or to Elijah, the prophets. Now we're to listen to Jesus. But my point is, how did Peter know that that was Moses and Elijah? Good question, isn't it? Well, then there's another example when in Luke chapter 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and how that they are the rich man was in torment, and somehow he knew he could look, he could see a man across the great gulf, and he called him Father Abraham. How did he know that that was Father Abraham? Yeah, again, interesting. So there seems to be an implication by these events that unfolded there in Luke chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 17, that there will be some recognition of individuals that have at least gone before us. And if that is true, some that we've never met we will know, then it seems to be a good conclusion, although there's not a verse of Scripture other than the many references in the Old Testament. When someone died, it says that they were gathered to their own. So there seems to be enough information to conclude that, yes, we will recognize our loved ones after we depart and are in heaven with them. And so hopefully that was helpful to you, Luther. First question, I have no idea, but there, Matthew chapter 17 and Luke chapter 16 are the answers for your second question. Thank you very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's our voice line. 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. You can call right now. The lines are available. If you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283. Being that we're waiting on the phone calls right now, let me tell you again about our meeting this weekend in Ridgeville, just up the road, up Highway 26. And Ridgeville, South Carolina, we're going to have our next meeting, our community meeting, neighborhood meeting, however you want to refer to it. We want to meet you. If you live in that area, that is in Walterboro, Roundo, Cottageville, Dorchester, Cross, any of those places, Ridgeville as well, then please come out this coming Friday and Saturday to the Ridgeville Community Center Auditorium at the intersection of Church Street and School Street. If you'd rather have numbers, that's Highway 173 and Highway 27. And from we'll check in, we'll begin at 6 o'clock, and we'll try to begin our meeting at 6:30. And so we look forward to meeting you this coming Friday and Saturday evening up in Ridgeville, South Carolina, for our next neighborhood meeting, and give you an opportunity for us to meet you and for you to meet us. And hopefully, that's certainly going to be a downer, but hopefully all of us will grow in the Lord as we discuss what God says in His Word. And that's the whole purpose behind these meetings. So we've rented the auditorium there for to make this available. So please come out this coming Friday and Saturday evening from 6:30 till 8:30. And Lord willing, we'll be able to answer your Bible questions. It will be a program similar to what we have going on right now. We're going to be presenting some materials that are crucial to going to heaven in the beginning, and then we'll answer all your Bible questions as well. So please come out this weekend, Friday and Saturday evening from 6:30. We'll check in at 6, and then we will try to cut it off within a couple hours. And we're glad to meet you face-to-face. That's this coming weekend. Don't miss out on this in Ridgeville, South Carolina. Again, the numbers are 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions on your mind. If you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions on your mind. Steve?
Yes, and I want to also add for my part that one of the great blessings of doing these meetings is getting to meet you face-to-face and to sit down and be able to converse with you back and forth about what the Bible teaches as you ask your questions. On the radio, it's kind of hard. It's been an adjustment for me to speak into this microphone and try to visualize the person who's asking the question on the other end. Don't have to worry about that when someone's there in person alive, and it's always easier and more beneficial if we have that kind of situation. So we are really happy for the opportunity to get a chance to meet you, and we encourage you to do that. One of the things that we notice and we observe in our religious world, and excuse me, and as we ask people questions about the different kind of teachings that are present and from different churches, that everybody realizes that's not right. That's something wrong with that. And that's exactly what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2, that he taught the same thing in every church. Everywhere Paul went, he taught the same gospel, the same message, and the uniformity of teaching ought to be the same today if we are seeking to please God. Jesus prayed in John 17, verses 20 and 21, that we be one, as he and the Father are one, and so should we. 1 Corinthians 1, Paul talked to the church at Corinth, that we all speak the same thing, be of the same mind and same judgment. And that will be our goal as we meet with you and study the Scriptures and look into the Bible to answer your questions, and we hope that will be helpful to you. Ricky?
Again, the lines are available, 308-9564. We have Leslie calling in this question. Leslie, thank you so much. It's in response to the previous comments I made about recognizing people in our existence after we leave this body behind. And her question is, people in hell will be burned up, and then that's the end of them. Is that a false teaching? Give scriptures. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for wanting to have scripture. That is so very important. And absolutely, that's the whole purpose of this program, is to let the Bible speak. And yes, Leslie, there is a false teaching out there. Well, you determine whether it's false. I'll give you the scriptures here. But there is a lot of teaching out there that says that when you die like Rover, you die all over. And is that true? You just cease to exist. Well, listen to what the Bible says. In Matthew chapter 25, the very last verse of the chapter, Jesus is teaching, and he just told about some who had served and those that were sick and in prison and hungry, and he fed them and such. And he's contrasting the two groups of people. In verse 46, he says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And there's the two contrasted. One will be a never-ending or everlasting punishment, and one will be a never-ending life. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, after talking about those who were troubled and could rest with the Lord, and those who had been troubling them, would receive in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So there again, you can see both of these passages talk about that they don't just cease to exist. Their punishment will be everlasting. It will be a continuous punishment. And even as the rich man that was in torment in Luke chapter 16, he was in torments, even as in fire. I am in torments in this fire, this flame. And so that was an ongoing, continuous punishment that he was going through, and all he was begging for was one drop of water is what he was begging for. Now, my question is, that was an ongoing thing, and some would discount that by saying, well, that was a parable. Well, that passage doesn't say it was a parable. And so there's no way to ascribe that that was a parable. And even if it were a parable, that would not mean that it would be false, because every parable Jesus taught was true to life. Those were events that were not fantastic or just something that is more of a myth, fantasy. They were true to life stories to bring out the truths. And so there you go. I hope that's been helpful to you. Again, that was Matthew 25:46 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Time for us to take our next break. We want you to know that the lines are still available, 308-9564. Go ahead and call in your question. And please know that the information we're about to give you about the correspondence course is free. You will get that in the mail this coming week if you go ahead and sign up on it. You can study it anytime you want to. We are happy to send this to you. We will never ask for a donation or your tithe and offering in any way. So you have nothing to lose but your sin. You have everything to gain for an eternity if you learn what God has to say. Here's information on that. While we're at break, continue to call in your questions, 308. To know that this is a live program, you can call in your questions right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. During the break, we were talking about the question I didn't answer earlier, do we remain the same age in heaven as when we die? Someone pointed out to me something else to consider, and that is if age is a process that occurs while we are in these bodies of flesh. And so that question does not apply, because in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50, that the kingdom of heaven, it will not be made up of flesh and blood. And so that is something that would not be applicable, because we will not be in bodies of flesh when we end up in heaven or hell. It will be our spirits, and the new body, as the Bible describes it, will be our habitation or dwelling after we leave this life. And so if that's of any help to you, Luther, we sure appreciate that. And that's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Go ahead and read through the end of the chapter. It'll be very helpful to you. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through the end of the chapter. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. Steve?
We have a question here from Revelation chapter 12. There's a woman described in chapter 12, and so the question we have is a text question, and they wanted to know, who is this woman? They'd heard that some people say it's Mary, the nation of Israel, or the church. Well, let's go to the passage in Revelation chapter 12, and in verse 1 and 2, it says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with a child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. Well, when you read that, of course, our minds would go to the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin, Mary her name, and so we would think, oh, maybe that's a reference to Mary. And that's a possibility, I guess. We read in verse 5 that she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And, of course, that would be referring to Jesus. And then you go on down and read, there's several references to this woman that, again, reading these might help us develop an answer in our mind. She fled into the wilderness in verse 6 of Revelation chapter 12, and where she has a place prepared by God. Don't know if there is a historic reference to Mary particularly to that. But then you will go on down further, and verse 13, it says, "Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child." And so, again, you might be thinking, well, how does that fit Mary? And then in verse 17, it says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." And so that would maybe cause us to think of, the faithful of God. That Jesus descended from the tribe of Judah, the nation of Israel, as a Jew, and the woman, again, if that represented the faithful people of God, then they would be persecuted as they kept the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we indeed see that in the book of Acts and the epistles of Paul. And even in the book of Revelation, we see persecution by the dragon, by Satan, to the offspring of Mary, of Jesus, the faithful people of God. And so the woman here, I think, would represent the faithful people of God more so than Mary as a person. So we appreciate that question. Book of Revelation is a challenging book, a lot of symbolism, a lot of figurative things, and it's important to kind of keep reading verses that mention the woman and all of the context of the book of Revelation. We know in Revelation chapter 1 that this was given to us in signs, and so it's important for us to try to not just read the book of Revelation, but even the prophets of the Old Testament, because a lot of the things that are said in the book of Revelation were used initially by the prophets in the Old Testament. So having a good background in that can help us interpret these signs in the right way. So we appreciate so much that question. You might be also thinking about calling up the station, and that's 308-9564, 308-9564, or to text us at 725-9283. And we would be able and willing, and if we don't have an answer to the question, we'll say, well, we'll study that and we'll get back with you. But we will turn to the scriptures and try to find the answer that is written therein.
The number, 308-9564. We want you to be aware of the, during our breaks, that we tell you about the correspondence course that we offer to you free of charge. Literally thousands of you have enrolled in this course, and a great number of you have finished the course and gone on to several other courses that we offer. Everything we offer is free. It is not a matter of ever asking for a donation or any kind of contribution whatsoever. We are ready, willing, able to give you treasure. Oh, it's not something you can spend it to store, but it is something that will build a home in heaven for you for eternity. Please let us share with you that. We were more than happy to send this to you free of charge. And the good thing about this kind of Bible study is we'll get it in the mail to you. You take it, you study it whenever you want to. You can ponder on it, you can study it, look up, and we do recommend, look up all the verses of Scripture, read them, and then you can fill out the questions, which aren't hard. They're just rather intended to make you think. And then once you fill out those, you send them back to us. We grade it, send the next lessons to you. Then it's back and forth until you end. And when you end, we send you a little nice certificate or get it to you in some way. If we can, we will hand deliver it so that we can show our appreciation to you and get to meet you that way. And thus, you're able to learn what God says. That number, if you want that correspondence course, give it sent to you even in tomorrow's mail, the number is 553-5157. So all of you that have never enrolled in this course, please do not miss out on this. There is a computer that will answer you. The computer can answer several calls at one time. So go ahead and call right now, 563-5157, and we will gladly send this to you free of charge. So don't miss out on this. One more time, that number for the free Bible correspondence course that you study on your own, there in the privacy of your home. You can study it in the middle of the night, in the morning, whenever you want, and thus you're able to spend time with God in His Word and let God speak to your heart through His Word and build you up into what He, God, wants you to be. So please don't miss out on this. And those of you that are already going through this, please understand that just don't study with your head. Study with your heart. Whenever we're listening to God's Word, let it sink into your heart and then bring your feet into action. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Again, that correspondence course to get it in the mail free of charge to you is 553-5157. We're happy to send it to you free of charge. Again, one more time, 553-5157, and it'll be in tomorrow's mail, and thus you're able to have your own study and at your own discretion whenever you want to sit down and listen to God in His Word. Now, the lines are available if you have a question you want to ask us. 308-9564 is the number, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283.
And I also want to make another mention about this Ridgeville meeting, is that we will not accept any money. There's not a fee for it. It's the material we hand out to you, that's free. So there's not going to be offering taken. No offerings taken at that Ridgeville meeting. So please do not be concerned about that. This is not an opportunity for us to raise money. This is an opportunity for us to be able to study the Bible with you, and that's the only concern that we have. And so we invite you to come out to that and participate with us. Going to a break. While we're at break, please call 308-9564. The operator is standing by, or text us at 725-9283. Thanks for joining us through the break, and I hope you have been writing down some questions you might have and anxious to dial the number 308-9564 or to text us 725-9283. And you just heard the ad about the Bible Correspondence Course. We hope you're taking that number down as well, 553-5157. So we invite you to take advantage of all the opportunities to think about this Bible Correspondence Course and to call that number in. Ricky?
Yes, we have a couple of questions coming in here. They're rolling into our text line, and we're glad to be able to receive them. The first question is... I'm going to have to get to that in just a second. The first question that came in was about Methuselah. Pat calls in this question, and she wants to know, Methuselah lived over 969 years. Were those years counted the same as ours? Well, very good question, Pat. There's a lot of people that say that the day back then does not count like what it is today. But from the very beginning, God made this clear what a day was and the length of time that was a day. In the creation, chapter 1, Genesis 1, verse 5, so the evening and the morning was the first day. Verse 8, the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 19, so the evening and the morning was the fourth day. Well, I'll skip verse 13. The evening and the morning was the third day. Verse 23, the evening and the morning was the fifth day. Do you get the point? God made it very clear what kind of days and what kind of time structure was from the very beginning. And so, yes, those were literally 969 years that he lived. I'm not going to try to multiply the number of days, but you can do that if you got a calculator. And so that's how many years that he lived. Well, Pat, just for information, if you want to do a little bit more investigation, you'll find out that everything and everybody lived that kind of almost 10 times longer before the flood, both man, beast, bugs, animals, and thus with everything living longer before the flood, that shows that the earth was entirely different than the what we experience in the earth right now. Now we live 80, 70 years, or if my strength, 80 years, or 80, David tells us in the Psalms. And so that is the length of time now. But before the flood, before sin caused God to have to destroy the world and start over again, everything lived about 10 times longer. So, Pat, thank you so much. And the reason we know that, we've got fossil after fossil that are still there in the soil and in the stones that show how much longer things lived and grew, like a 3-foot dragonfly fossil in Texas. And so how would you like that dragonfly to buzz your head? That would have been something to behold for certain. And so not only bugs and trees, but also there were lizards that lived that long as well. And so anyway, you get the idea. Everything lived that much longer. Pat, thank you so much. A day was a day, just like it is today. It's just the world was different and everything lived longer. Steve?
Yes, I have a question from Steve, by the way, from Genesis 32:24-29, where he asks, who was Jacob wrestling with? Well, let's go ahead and look at the text and see if that's always the best place to start. And we can read in those verses 24-29 that there was the verse says that a man wrestled with Jacob, and he could not prevail over Jacob, and so he touched the socket of his hip and won the match, as it were, at that wrestling match. And so after that happened, Jacob, some things dawned on him about kind of what had happened with all of that. And so let's go down to verse 29, when Jacob said, asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Now, why would Jacob say that if it was just a man? It might have appeared as a man to him, but why would he make that conclusion? Well, there are some other events in the life of Jacob that I think are very helpful to maybe consider this. If you go and look at chapter 28, verses 10 through 17, this is the familiar event when Jacob saw this ladder going from heaven to earth. And the Lord spoke to him in verse 13, saying, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. And then you slip on down, verse 16, Jacob awakes from the sleep, from this dream, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And so the conclusion that Jacob reached at that particular moment was that he thought about God. He related this back to God. And then in chapter 32, the same chapter that the question was asked about who he was wrestling with, verse 1 says, and now as Jacob went on his way, the angels of God met him. And Jacob said when he saw them, this is God's camp. So he named that place Mahanaim. And so it's interesting that Jacob, when he saw an angel, he said, this is God's camp. So there was a connection then between the angels and calling it God's place. And so when we see that again in Genesis 32, when he's wrestling, then the conclusion that it would be easy to draw was that this man indeed was an angel. So we appreciate that question, and it's interesting to note how often the angels were involved in the life of Jacob, who was, of course, the father of Israel. So, again, others might have different questions. We invite you to call us up, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. And we will do our dead level best. Ricky?
Yes, we have a text question coming in, actually two. Their first question is, this is from phone number 917, the last three digits in the phone number. The question is, what do must be born again really mean? What does that really mean? And that would be a very good question, and I'm very thankful to be able to answer that. In John chapter 3 is where that is taken, where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and there is where he told him, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. In verse 5, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so when you look at that and also look at the role of being born again and being brought up in newness of life, that takes us to Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3, where it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And then it continues where it says that, that if we do this, then we will have newness of life if we will follow through and actually obey God this way. In verse 5, it says, and if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, then certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. I skip verse 4 where it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so that birth begins there at the baptism when we die with Christ and rise to walk in newness of life. And so very good question. I would encourage you to look carefully at these passages, and you'll see that baptism is part of the process to become a child of God and to be part of his kingdom, to be rising to walk in newness of life. That's Romans chapter 6. Really the whole chapter, but focus in on verses 3 through 7 to answer your question the most. Now, your second question also has to do with this theme. The question is, do we have to repent of our sins in order to enter the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus says in Luke 13:3, repent or you shall all likewise perish. So, yes, repentance is absolutely necessary. And then also, later on, after the church began, Paul was preaching, and he told the crowd there in Acts chapter 17, where he says, truly the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, in that he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And so that was the assurance given by his resurrection, and also that is the assurance when we die with Christ to rise and walk in newness of life with him, then we also have that assurance as well. And so there, both questions do connect from that standpoint, that we have to believe, we have to repent, we have to confess according to Romans 10 and Matthew 10, but then also we must die with Christ in baptism and rise to walk in newness of life, and thus we are born again. Now, let me repeat again John 3:5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Very good question. Thank you so much for your question. We do want you to be aware of that that we are live, and you can continue to call in your questions. We're about to go to our next break. We're 1 hour into the program, so please don't miss out on getting your questions to us. The operator here is standing by. The lines are open. 308-9564 is the number to call in your question. That is the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Here is information on the Bible Correspondence Course. Please know this is free. We'll get in the mail to you tomorrow if you would like to enroll in this. And you will discover things in God's Word that you may have never seen before. Why would I say that? Because most churches today operate on a understanding they cannot violate their system of faith, their doctrine, that their church is founded upon. Well, what we want to operate on is the church that Jesus found, and that is in His Word. He's the owner. He's the purchaser, and that's the only church that the Bible talks about. And so let's find out what his church is all about by finding out what his word says and not being restricted by things that man has come up with. So go ahead and enroll in this. Here's the details on it. 308-9564 is the number for the questions, but here's the information to get the correspondence course. We'll be right back. We're serious about the course, that it is free. We'll be glad to send it to you. Now's your opportunity. Go ahead and call 553-5157 to enroll in the Bible correspondence course. We'll get it in the mail to you tomorrow, absolutely free. So please don't miss out on that. One more time, that number is 553-5157. Call now for the correspondence course, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free. Now, to call in your questions, we are just about to get caught up, so now's your chance, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Let me go ahead and also remind you, those of you that live in Ridgeville, in Roundo, Cottageville, Walterboro, in Dorchester, in Cross, if you can, please come out to Ridgeville Community Center this coming Friday and Saturday evening. This is the last time we'll mention it on the air, so please don't miss out on this. Write it down. That's this coming Friday and Saturday. Sign in is at 6 o'clock. The meeting will begin at 6:30, and that is at the Ridgeville Community Center Auditorium, and that's at the intersection of Church Street and School Street there in Ridgeville. If you have a GPS, the address to put in is 105 Church Street in Ridgeville. 105 Church Street. That is at the corner of Highway 173 and Highway 27. So don't miss out. Come out and bring your Bible questions. Bring your Bible. We look forward to meeting you in person this coming weekend in Ridgeville at the Ridgeville Community Center Auditorium from 6:30 till 8:30. We are thrilled to be able to meet you in person and to give you more Bible material in your Bible studies to help you in your walk with God. Write that down. That's this coming Friday and Saturday night. If you don't write it down, if you're like me, I would forget it. And so please don't miss out. Come and join us and let us meet you, and we look forward to meeting you face to face Friday and Saturday night this coming weekend in Ridgeville. Again, the number is 308-9564 to call in your question. The lines are quiet right now, so go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Well, we have one of those people that we are encouraging to call in, Ben. Ben is an avid listener and a reader of his Bible, and he asked a question today about Psalms 37 and verse 4. And that passage reads like this. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What Ben would like to know about this passage is, how do I delight myself in him, and what kind of desires are given? Well, there are several references in the chapter itself to the idea of delight and desire that would be good for us to begin with, and then we'll go outside of the chapter. If you look in verse 23 of Psalms 37, it says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. That is, God delights in a person whose steps are established by the Lord. Verse 34 of that same chapter tells us that wait for the Lord, keep his law. He will exalt you to inherit the land. Where the wicked are cut off, you will see it. And I think the word delight in the New King James is used in that passage as well. And then verse 39 says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. All of these passages revolve around a person's life and their God, their Lord. We delight ourselves in him, then we are involved, engaged, participating, obeying, walking with the Lord. Another reference is in Psalms chapter 1, And verse 2, it describes a person whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And that's a good passage to help us expound on this idea of delighting and what that might entail. One who delights in the law of the Lord meditates on it. So if you take delight, pleasure in something, then you spend time with it. You like to think about it. You like to mull it over. And that's exactly what's being described here in Psalms chapter 1 about one who delights in the Lord and meditates upon his will day and night. And then Psalms chapter 18 and verse 19. Again, a passage that says, one who God delights in, he brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And so the one who God delights in is the one who takes delight in God and his presence and his fellowship and obedience and trust and faithfulness and in his word. So those are the kind of things that delighting in God means. And then the other passage is, well, what kind of desires are given? The passage in Psalms 37 talks about the giving the desires of his heart. Well, there's obviously a connection between these two parts of the verses. And one is, if I delight myself in him, then he will give me the desires of my heart. So, what is one desire who delights in the Lord? What's the thing that's most on his mind if he delights in the Lord? Is it not the fact of the blessings of God? Is it not a stronger fellowship with God? Is it not a closer walk with God? Is it not a closer relationship with God? And those, I guess, are the things that a person who delights in God will desire to have. In the chapter 37, it talks about people who are being persecuted. They will be delivered. Talks about a person who will inherit the earth. About a person who will be able to experience the blessings of God and God's fellowship. So, Ben, we appreciate that question, that passage, and helping us look at that a little bit more closely, and we appreciate that so much. Others who have questions about Bible verses that you may have wondered about, please call us, 308-9564, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283. And don't forget the Ridgeville meeting this coming weekend, 15th and 16th, 6:30 to 8:30. And it'll be a live Let the Bible Speak program. There'll be some lessons that we'll present, and then we'll open it up for questions. And so we encourage you to come and let us get a chance to meet you, and we will be honored to have that experience.
You know, it's not often that you will find an event where people will make themselves available to answer questions from God's Word. And many times the reason for that is especially religious leaders do not like questions to be asked is because they're not willing to admit maybe what the Bible does say, or maybe they don't know what the Bible says. But regardless of the motivation, one thing for sure is we should never shirk back from wanting to know what God says in his word simply because we may not know the answer. From time to time, the questions come in here, then we have to scurry around to find and study the answer, and you'll hear us respond by saying, hey, a new question. We haven't had this asked before. And so those are things that we should look forward to because it helps us all to grow. And so we're going to make ourselves vulnerable. We want you to come and ask those questions in person, and we will go to the Bible for the answers. Now, if it's coming to opinion, we will say, well, that's just a matter of opinion. It's not what God says, and we'll leave it at that because opinion, you can buy a dozen of those for a dime, but when it comes down to what God says, every word is priceless. And so let's try to find out what God has to say before we meet him face to face. And so, again, that's this coming weekend in Ridgeville at the Ridgeville Community Center Auditorium, and that's at 105 Church Street in Ridgeville, South Carolina. And check-in is at 6, and the meeting will begin at 6:30. So try to come and we will let the Bible speak there in that event. It may be a long time before we ever get back there again, because this is, we're almost coming to an end of our circuit to all of the various communities around town. And so I think we have one more left, if I'm not mistaken. And so please do not miss out on this. So it's taken us 4 years to get to you. So make certain that you do not miss out on this meeting this weekend. That's at the corner of Church Street and School Street at the Ridgeville Community Center in Ridgeville, South Carolina. And that's this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday. We have a caller, a texter, calling in this question. Their question is, in the Bible, it says that a woman must learn in private and that she should not be over man. Then why are there women pastors and bishops? And we need to answer that question. And so that is a very good question. And so first of all, let's substantiate what you said. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We'll read that in just a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we will just bring out that you're exactly right. That's what the Bible says in just a moment. We're going to take our last break before we read that. So go ahead and be turning in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we'll read that in just a moment. Now, while we are at break, please know the information, the Bible correspondence course that we send you is absolutely free. So don't miss out on this. Here's the information on it. While we are at break, we still have time for some more questions. 308-9564 is the number. That's the voice line. Call right now, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
Good to have you through the break, and we're continuing here. We've got 15 more minutes, well, less than 15 minutes with a radio time as it is. And so we encourage you to take advantage of these last couple of minutes. 308-9564 is the phone call here at the station, and 725-9283 is the text. We want to talk to you again and encourage you to come to the Ridgeville meeting. It's at 6, be there at 6 to register. It'll go from 6:30 to 8:30. It'll be a live program. The four of us who are behind the mics will present lessons, and we will answer questions. You'll get to meet Laren, who's behind the board, and so we just look forward to these are interesting, great times for us, fun times, and we get to meet everybody, and that's a real encouragement for us, and I think it would be encouraging for you too, and so we really invite you to come and visit with us at that particular time. So call the station 308-9564 or text us 725-9283.
And we're still taking Bible students for the Bible correspondence course. If you're interested in the Bible correspondence course, call 553-5157. The computer operator is answering the phone, and we can take more than one call at a time. So I don't think you'll get a busy signal. 553-5157, and you can enroll in the correspondence course, and we will get it in the mail to you free of charge. Now, I would even go so far as to suggest that during your careful study of this Bible correspondence course, you will discover things in God's Word that you have never seen before. Now, wouldn't that be a shocker if we waited to the judgment day to discover those things? Then it would be too late. So isn't it important that we discover those things before we end this life and meet our judge? Oh, yeah, I agree. So go ahead, enroll in this course, call 553-5157, and we will be able to send that to you free of charge, and you can study it anytime you want to, day or night, and then you fill it out, send it back to us, and we'll send you the next lessons, and there again, back and forth until you finish the course, 553-5157. We have this caller calling in this question. They want to know, in the Bible, it says that a woman must learn in private, and she should not be over a man. Then why are there women pastors and bishops? Well, you're exactly right. The Bible does say that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning with verse 34. It says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for it's not permitted for them to speak. But they are to be submissive, as also says the law. If they want to learn something, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Or did the Word of God come originally from you, or was it only that you that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And the reason I went ahead and read that on down to verse 37 is because many times people will try to discount this passage, saying, oh, that's because Paul was a male chauvinist, and he didn't like women. He never even got married. And, of course, that is the way that they try to discount God's word. But nevertheless, he says, the things that I write to you, and I'm not saying Paul was, but he says, the things that I write unto you are the commandments of God. So whether he was or not, I'm not going to say. I tend to think when you carefully study most of the New Testament, which God used him to write, you find out that he was a lover of mankind, both men and women. He had the most gracious things to say about women. And so, no, he was not, certainly. And so that's just a plea with ignorance, not knowing what the Scriptures do say. And so please let's not try to discount what God's Word says in any book. So your question is, how come there's pastors and teachers out there that are women today? Well, you're going to have to ask them. Because the Bible, and when it comes down to being a pastor or overseer or an elder, God says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 that those individuals are to be the husband of one wife. Well, that's what God says. So if you want to know what they say, you're going to have to ask them, but it's certainly not in God's word. So thank you for your question, and I'm sorry to have to say that that is very common in our society, but regardless if it's common, then that does not deny what God says in his word. We've got to do what God says. He's going to be the last one to judge us. Don't we want that judgment to be good? So we better listen to and follow what God has to say. Now, that doesn't mean that women aren't to teach. They are to be teachers of good things. Titus chapter 2, verses first half a dozen verses there, you see that they are commanded to teach. And all of us are commanded to teach. And so that is just part of the roles and the restrictions of certain roles that we should play. And that's not anything against women. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, God tells men to hush, for them to not speak. And so if God can tell men to hush and not speak, can't he tell women to hush and not speak? Well, certainly he can. He is the one that gives all the rules, and what we have to do is to follow him. Because he's ruler. That is, he's Lord. He's master. He's Messiah. He's king. And I'm not going to speak against the king. Are you? Thus, we got to let the Bible speak. We've just got a few minutes left. Go ahead and call your question right now. 308-9564. Your question will be the next question. 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak. We do not have a question, so go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564.
Again, we want to encourage you, this is the last opportunity we will have on the radio program to invite you to the Ridgeville Let the Bible Speak meeting at the Ridgeville Community Center at the intersection of Church Street and School Road. And so we want you to do that. We've sent out invitations to a lot of people, and we hope you got those, and that will give you more information. And so we really, really look forward to getting to meet you and to talk about the Scriptures. I've had several studies in Ridgeville, along with, and I think probably Ricky had and Nick have too. And so we know people out there, and you know us, and we encourage you to come visit us at that station, and that will be helpful. We have a live caller who wants to come on. And so we're going to take him right now. We got a name? Kim.
We pushed the wrong button. Kim, call right back, and we'll get you on. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-9564. Sometimes we pushed the wrong button, so go ahead and call right now, and you'll be able to get through. 308-9564. We had Kim standing by to go live.
Yeah.
Again, the number, 308-9564. There she is. And Let's make certain. And we will be glad to put you live on the air. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Kim. All right, go ahead. Kim, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Yeah, it was coming from the last question.
All right, so we just now can hear you. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, okay. All right. It was coming from the last question.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me. It was coming from the last question. You said that women aren't supposed to, they're supposed to be silent. So women aren't supposed to teach an adult male, just say if you're in Bible study or you have an evangelist in there.
Well, let me correct.
She's teaching the class or something. Or
okay.
She's teaching the Bible study. And she's not allowed to teach a man.
Let me correct the first thing that you said there, and that is you said that we said, and hopefully.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
if
we
I
read
said
that from
I'm
the Bible.
Sorry. I'm just asking a question.
Yes, but I agree with that conclusion. That's exactly what the scriptures do teach. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. And even in like conference. They're supposed to be silent when there is, like, if you have conference meeting.
You mean when they have an open round
table
like discussion
church
or something?
Meeting, conference. They call it conference. Yeah.
Well, the parameter in 1 Corinthians 14 says in the church, and it's not talking about a building, and you look at the context of that phrase, in the church, is talking about in the assembly when the saints have come together. Ricky, I believe that that's talking about when we come together for worship, and that was, there were several rules.
Okay.
Yes, when we've come together for worship, that those parameters in 1 Corinthians 14 are be applied.
Oh, okay.
And I think you mentioned also a Bible class setting. So in a Bible class setting, the woman is not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 2. So that would be another situation where the woman is to learn in submission and be quiet.
But she can speak out, but not over a man or have authority over a man. Does that make sense?
So in other words, she's not supposed to head the class.
That would certainly be a good way to apply that, yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
Yeah, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We have 2 minutes left in our broadcast, and so we are just about to run out of time. I'm trying to see if we have one more question to answer, and I don't see it coming, so we want to let you know that we are our honor to be able to be in your ear this day, and we hope and pray that the things that we have said have been of benefit to you. Obviously, you have a desire for the joy and fulfillment that only God can give. And he's the only one that can give us true happiness and peace. But it will not come through seeking after things of this life, physical things, money, power, position. It'll only come if we will just yield to his direction, yield to our Creator's touch. And that means we must obediently love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Learning to be content with such things as we have is part of that as well. And then when it comes down to all the questions that pertain to life and godliness, they will not come through church doctrine. They will not come through experiences. They will only come when we let God have his way in our lives as we seek after what God says. He is the only source of authority, and thus what we have to do is let the Bible speak.